Do not let your hearts be troubled. I could almost just stop there and sit down. But I know you'd be disappointed if I did that, wouldn't you? We read about Stephen this morning. He had spoken to the council in no uncertain terms, reminding them how, through history, they had opposed the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, they were not very impressed. He was accused of blasphemy and was stoned to death. And then we heard, just before he died, he had a vision of heaven and a vision of Jesus. He had every reason to be troubled, but he was not troubled. Now, I've said to you many times before, I really do love John's Gospel. And it's especially those chapters 13 to 16, where Jesus is giving his last big block of teaching to the disciples at the Last Supper. The very next day, he will be crucified. And it's almost as if he needs to get them to understand as much as possible to help them make sense of his death, but also his resurrection. These three chapters, for me, are so rich and so full of wonderful truths. And it's this opening verse that really stood out to me. The world in such a mess at the moment. Real potential for a war in the Middle East. Real potential for that war to expand and even explode into something much bigger. And I'm saddened that even in our own country, we see civil unrest, we see riots, where certain groups of people are blamed for the bad things that happen, often with no truth or proof. And it's into this that Jesus says again to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. How can he say that? Well, he explains that, in essence, he is assuring us that as his own people, his own sheep, who, as we heard last week, enter through the gate into the sheepfold, putting our trust in Jesus. Choosing him means we do not have to be troubled. And then there's more. We heard how he has gone ahead to prepare a place for us. Whatever happens in the world, we are safe in that eternal sense with Jesus. Many of you know, but in case you don't, in my past life, I was a doctor. Quite a few years ago now, I diagnosed a 15-year-old girl with a brain tumour that was sadly inoperable. She was an only child. Quite devastating. And yet she said to me right from the start, if I get better, that would be great. But if I don't, that would be okay as well. She was totally at peace. I learned afterwards that she'd started to go to a Christian meeting at her school and had indeed trusted her life to Jesus before any of this had happened. And she was not from a Christian family. Indeed, it was through her illness she was able to explain her faith to her parents. I would have loved for her to get better. Yet in a way, her faith was almost more powerful because she didn't. Why did I think about her as I prepared this sermon? Well, together with her parents, this passage from John was the one she wanted at her funeral. I think as much for her parents' reassurance, but also as a witness to her many friends that came to the funeral. The most powerful testimony from one so young. And it also illustrates the importance of Christian input into our schools. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, moving on in that passage, many of you know I like my walks. Most days I can be spotted walking around the village and the surrounds, and I usually end up walking back down the street from north to south. I can't tell you the number of times cars stop and ask me, do I know the way? Do I know the way to the school, to the Rawson Hall, to the church, etc., etc.? I wonder what would happen if I said, it's okay, Jesus is the way. Probably not much help in local navigation, but maybe helpful in navigating life's journey. Thomas asked, and I'm sure it was on behalf of the others as well. You can almost imagine going, you ask him. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then this wonderful saying, many of the I am sayings of Jesus are in John's Gospel. I am the way, the truth and the life. Follow me, trust in me, I will lead you. You do not need to worry, just follow. And this passage also made me think about Jesus being the truth. My goodness, we hear a lot about truth today, don't we? Or perhaps I should say people's interpretation of the truth. We are bombarded with folk telling us their truth. In advertising, through social media, especially in politics and in many other ways. I believe firmly that none of us have a total hold on the truth. The truth is, as it were, separate from all of us. It belongs to Jesus alone. We can choose to agree with the truth, but we certainly can't interpret the truth to our own beliefs, because then it's no longer the truth. Jesus is the only truth. We have a choice to agree with his truth or not. Do you remember when Jesus was stood before Pilate? He said, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. To which Pilate responded, what is truth? I'll leave that thought with you. I want to belong to the truth. The truth in Jesus by listening to his voice. There are so many other voices around saying they are the truth. They are not. They are just human interpretation. We all know that phrase when somebody says, well, as I see it, the truth is this. Oh, beware, beware of that. Only in Jesus do we find the truth. Jesus says to the whole of humanity, come to me. In me you will find the way. In me you will find the truth. And in me you will have life in all its abundance, now and into eternity. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for us, his sheep. And his invitation is to everybody to come. Our duty is to everyone who doesn't know the way, be that to the school or the Rawson Hall, that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. There's an awful lot of people wandering through life lost because they're trying to find the way for themselves. It's got to be this way. No, it must be the other way. And there's only one way to navigate through life. Jesus is the only way. There are so many false prophets with their own truths shouting at us to follow them. There's only one way, one truth that brings life. Amen.